The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 690. It's the Weekend Podcast. So joining me are two buddies, two ladies, two lovers. It's Pete and Steve.
Yes, hello.
maybe we'll change the intro there.
Okay, so you have that recorded at the start.
Yeah. So
that's better.
For anyone new, listening in, chancing on us by accident in some way, press stop now and just delete.
Go away.
But if you are, if you're a contrarian, and because of that, now you're going to listen. Then the weekdays I chat to CEOs and stuff like that, and people and market commentators. On the weekend, I chat to mates of mine, Pete and Steve, who are occasional investors. I wouldn't say, a regular, or you're quite regular-ish, but you haven't invested. When's the last time you made a transaction, Pete, Steve? Let's go alphabetical.
Last week.
Let's go alphabetical. Steve.
Last week.
Alphabetical, Steve. That's me first, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, exactly. I said alphabetical and Steve went last week. Yeah. So he has a problem with his alphabet. We know that for a start. Mm. Last week, and what did you go for?
That was the Horizonte Minerals.
Oh, you went for that, yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Dito.
Well, listen, I quite like, Horizontes. I wrote a blog on them, and they've got everything in place there. Massive, asset there, nickel. And they're de-risking that. And that's a good thing, actually. I want to talk about de-risking because it's an important thing. Because obviously, in any trade, there's risk and reward. You understand me?
Mm.
And of course, within AIM, there's quite risky investments because these are companies at the start of their, hopefully, their journey there into proving up to become a profitable business. That's hopefully the aim of any company, is to become, cash generative, profit generative, and then having no need to go to the market to issue, funds in some way. Now, if you look at Horizonte, then they've got this massive nickel resource. It's got NI 43101. And by the way, last week I was quite incorrect in this. I was saying that, there are certain standards, the compliance standards for assets, when you're measuring them and doing resource drilling. So you drill, every 50 meters or something, go down, test samples, and so you see how big it is, how deep it is, the grade it is. And so these have to conform to some kind of resource standard for investment other people, potential investors, to look at it in a decent way, and so there's two different types. There's NI 43101, that's in Canada, I think, and then there's JORC, which is Australia's version, but they're very standard. But so they've got that, Horizonte, they've got the asset, they've got the cash, they've got massive shareholders, and they're bringing this into production end of 2019-2020. Now, this week, Earth, Asian Metal Resources, Earth, with a big Tony there, brought out some drilling results, and this, excellent, the best drilling results they've had so far. The share price went up and come back down. There's a lot of people trading this stock. And I'm thinking, this isn't, maybe if you want to earn a buck here, there. But this, to me, in my mind, is a stock you hold, And this is significantly, these results are getting better and better. And this is significantly de-risking what they thought they had. So, of course, the more they're finding, the more proof they have that there's a great asset down there. And these results are proving that. And we're working our way towards what's called a feasibility study. Once that is completed, bring it out. It's essentially, like I said before, it's like having a business plan and taking it to bigger investors or banks and saying, okay, this is the business plan. This is what we've got. This is what we want to do. This is how much it's going to cost. This is how much we need to get this level of profitability. And so we've seen a pre-economic assessment, and now a feasibility thing is really the gold standard here. Like I'm talking about standards and resources. This is the gold standard. So they get to that. And I have no doubt this share price will re-rate. I don't know when it will, and that's the whole thing. So you can't just jump in and out. That's the problem. If you're jumping in and out, you may miss that re-rating. And this re-rating will be, unlike what happened last time on the PEA, where we saw a jump up in that, and it came back down because there's still a bit of time left until they start producing copper. I think, it won't come back. Once it shoots above and stays above 3 pence, look at the chart there, it keeps testing that 3 pence level and then coming down. But once it goes above that, that will be the next support. And so I think at this moment it's come back, and I got to admit I bought some more shares on Friday of Asian Met Resources, and I did take part in the placing as well, 2.3 pence, and I bought some more, I think 2.7 5, I think it was. I think it's a good deal down here, you know? It's a good deal, guys. Are you both holders, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm quite a substantial holder of them.
Yeah, well, I spoke to Stephen, not you, Steve, but another Stephen.
Okay, right.
The main man, you know, the VP, the Vice President of Exploration Asia Med. He's the guy who lives in Indonesia, knows it very well. You know, I met him in London a while back, and he knows his stuff. He's worked at lots of projects around the world, big copper projects, you know, for some of the biggest companies. And he said this is one of the best projects he's ever seen. You don't see this anymore. Low strip ratio, which means you can't argue about this. Copper, I don't care, have a go at arguing about this, right? But everyone argues about supply and demand in copper. They say, oh, this is much supply, and then they get official results, it changes all the time. So there's dynamics that have changed, the supply and demand. But what you can't argue on, and what everyone says is true, copper grades are getting worse. You're having to dig further down to get decent copper grades, you know? And Asia Med, this is a great grade at quite low levels, so, you know, quite close to the surface. In my turn. So that means you have to remove less sort of earth and dirt, whatever you're digging out, and ore, you know, which costs a lot of money to get to the copper. You know, and so as copper grades decrease, the cost of producers go up. So essentially, what you'd always need to look for is not how big the asset is, but where it is and how much it costs to get it out. Because you may have an excellent asset, you know, a kilometre below the ground. That's no good. You know, it'll cost so much to get it out, you'll never be profitable, and no one will lend you money on that basis. So that's why Asia Resource, you know, there in BKM is an excellent project. It's very low strip ratio, very good grades, and you've got guys there who've done it before, you know, and I think sub, 20 million market cap. When you're talking about 40 millions of free cash flow over the life of the mine, I guess nuts, you know, so that's per year, 40 million a year of free cash flow, you know. It's nuts.
So what do you think is the next phase for them? When are we, in terms of time?
Well, I think several things are going to happen here. We've got lots of results. I think news will come out sooner or later about maybe, you know, I think before feasibility study is complete, about partners coming in, you know, big investors coming in. I think that will happen. I'd be surprised if it lasts until feasibility study, which towards the end of the year. I also think it's been taking a while, and you know, the mining licenses on Butong. You know, Butong! Oof! Well, we said before, you know, BKM is a compelling project, but Butong's standing behind it. Butong's a monster. It's like 4 or 5 times as big as BKM.
Yikes.
So and the project is brilliant, because what we're going to do is use BKM, the cash generating BKM, to get Butong up. Come on, Butong, we got the cash now. Come on, Butong, you can do it, Butong. And they'll probably need to farm in a partner there, a bigger partner, right. You know, but, you know, nevertheless, this will be huge.
Have you been drinking a lot of coffee today?
Oh, yeah.
I think he's had his lunch early enough.
I've had his nap.
Yeah. So, listen, they've got a project like, and this, you know, this is like, you know, Tony, who's taken a 3 million market cap to several, 6 billion market cap by doing the same thing. He says, Justin, this is the right time in the project to be, you know, doing this kind of stuff, you know, getting assets in, cyclically low prices, you get them in, develop them up, get them producing, all that, and you're in tumps, yeah?
That's actually a pretty good impression of him.
Yeah.
You've been working on that,
listen,
haven't you?
Yeah, listen. At the moment, I think it's people are trading around this. I think, okay, you'll miss the move. So talking about that, I missed the move this week. And do you know what? I partly blame you, Pete.
What?
Well, you were talking the other day about putting a stop loss in, keeping it safe if you've got a bit of profit. Did you? You fool. You absolute fool.
What was the move on what?
Well, I bought into like URU. This is a nickel asset, you know, massive asset. It's not JORC or NI 43101 compliant yet. So we know there's a massive asset in there. It's a sub 6 million market cap company, but with 12 biggest nickel assets in the world, apparently. In the ground. Now, to develop this up, take a lot of money, you know, and get it going to feasibility. So, at the moment, That's not going to happen. But I jumped in here because there's a lot of hype about it on Twitter. I jumped in. And at about 0.6 or something. Where is it now? 0.6. And it went up. Where was I at? It went up to like 0.8 or something like that. And I put a stop loss in, just 0.65 or something ridiculous. And it came back and somehow I tripped it out. And then next day went up like 10%. The next day after that, 14%. Oh, what's going on here?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have put a stop loss in there.
No, I wouldn't have either. No.
I shouldn't have even. I just stick to my rules. Why did I even do that? Do you know what? There's a huge amount of interest in Twitter over this on URU, and it's one of the most followed companies on Vox Markets. And part of me thinks, because it's highly followed, half of me wanted to get out. You know, because everyone's saying this is done deal, this is amazing, re-rate, definitely 10-bagger. When something's definite, it never happens. I've seen that so many times in stocks. People are like, oh, this is definitely going to happen. Oh, this is going to... It never happens. And so I sort of jumped out, but I've been proven wrong to a certain extent, because I could have made almost close to 50%, you know, in a couple of days, and I lost out. But there you go, you know.
I don't think I can really be blamed for that.
Well, you know the way a human is, you know, I like to blame other people.
Okay, perfect.
That's why, where there's a blame, there's a claim. There's always a blame somewhere. No one likes to say, no, it's my fault. Do they? Most people do. It's someone else's fault. Let me just find who that is. Once I find who it is, I'll get a claim going, just to prove it's not my fault. I also spoke to Dr. Gary on Friday's podcast. I don't know if you heard that. Did you hear me speak to Dr.
I haven't listened to Friday's podcast yet, no.
Oh, Dr. Gary. Steve, have you listened to Dr. Gary?
I haven't not, no.
Hi, I'm Dr. Gary.
Haven't not. Haven't not, no.
That means yes. There's two negatives, make it positive. So you have listened to it. You have listened to Dr. Gary.
So haven't not, no.
Yeah, so I haven't not, no.
He's actually right in what he said.
Yeah, I have not, no. I have not, no. No, 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 I have not, no. No, 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 I have not, no. No, no, I have not, no, no, that, no, no, no. Have I? No. Have I? No. Haven't. Not. No. Right, listen. Yeah.
He's back where he started.
I think I have listened to it, actually. I think I may... You are right. I did listen to it. Yeah, you're right.
Gary. Yeah.
Dr. Gary Wanders. I don't know why I'm doing that, accidentally.
No, weird.
I think he's from down under somewhere. Dr. Gary Wanders. Hey. He's director of healthcare at Zeus Capital. And he's talking about Motive Bio. You'd be interested in this, Steve. Because obviously you hold stock. You didn't sell when they started coming down. You kept holding on them. But this is the good news. This is the good news. Like I said, they've got two phase three trials, right? This drug has been taken through phase three trials before and pretty much passed, but then the Americans changed the sort of goalposts on it and it didn't pass because obviously they didn't put in for those kind of tests. They didn't pass, so they couldn't pass. It didn't pass because they didn't actually prepare for those tests. You know what I'm saying? And then the company at the time needed more money and they basically went through, so they couldn't do it. So then Motibio bought the drug, Ilcaprim. They've looked back at the tests and saying, oh, this drug would have passed those tests if they had enough money. And so they're going through phase three trials in pretty much what they've passed before, you know? So this is amazing. So Dr. Gary reckons on release of Revive 1 data, which is in Q2 this year, the share price could double, you know? And then he reckons he's got a price target of about 107 pence on it. So where we are at the moment, 26.7 pence, four and a half times upside. You know, so that's target short term.
But what are potential sales looking like?
A billion.
A billion what?
$1 billion.
Okay, yeah. Right. In the first year?
Yeah, we just get one of the big pharmaceuticals coming and say, yeah, we like this drug, man. We'll give you $1 billion, yeah.
I need more of that drug, man. Right, okay.
Yeah, we need lots of that drug over here. Yeah.
I need a fix.
But so essentially, they're going through trial. Normally, phase three trials are, you know, a flip of a coin. You know, they're going to be hit and miss. Because you never know when you actually get under that level of testing. So when you do phase one, you're testing safety. Then phase two is safety, efficacy. Safety and effectiveness and... or efficacy. Phase three is safety, efficacy, and effectiveness. And you don't know how effective it's going to be, and the byproduct of that. But this drug, Ilcaprim, has done it before, so they know pretty much. So Gary is putting a chance of success on this, more towards 65-70% chance of success. And considering, and I, you know what, and I think it's going to go well. This is one of these drug combinations here that. You know, it's got no interest at the moment. People, for some reason, it's the mindset of the average investor. You know, when a share price is down, they're scared to invest. When it goes up, they start investing, you know? When it starts spiking, they start investing more. No, they get the wrong way around. When the share price is low, you know, and there's potential and news coming out, that's when to invest. When, you know, it's almost when no one's looking, tuck a few away, you know? So at the moment, yeah. It's lowish. It's at 26 pence. It was higher than this, right? Before they're actually on the NASDAQ, before they had cash to go through the phase three trials, when it was muted, they were going to the NASDAQ, and it started rallying like crazy. But now they've, you know, and they had a couple of problems with delays, with issues with raising funds and a delay on the NASDAQ issuing. But that's happened now. Those problems are its way, so I don't see what the issue is. But so all we're waiting for, this is one of those stocks that we'll be talking about like this, and it will just, poof, in one day, you know, shoot through the spike up like crazy. And so definitely
because of some interest from a major pharmaceutical or something.
I think if it may happen before that, it'll happen before phase three revive one comes out. Definitely, I think, you know, we'll see a move before that happens. It's like a well spud in all companies.
I will make a point of listening to your Friday podcast. There you go.
Dr. Gary Wanders. Yeah, he's very bullish about it. And he's a doctor, you know, doctors don't tell lies.
Yeah,
I don't know what he's a doctor of. Didn't ask him that. But he's got a lot of experience in you know, in the healthcare sector. So and he knows a lot.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, sounds good. Let's pile some money into it then. He's a doctor. Buy some shares. Yeah.
Right. I'm about 50% down on that at the moment. So
you wouldn't have been, Steve.
Ideal.
Well, you wouldn't have been, would you? You wouldn't have been if you listened. See, listen, Steve. Listen, look.
What do you mean if I hadn't listened?
If you had listened, I have not known. Have you not known listened?
I have not known.
I have not known.
I've been in there quite a while.
I know. Well, I think you should probably, you know, average down.
Yeah, I could do, couldn't I?
Yeah, I think you should, Steve. Yeah. I definitely think you should. Because you average down, 50% down, you know, you put the same chunk in, it'll make you 25% down. And then that rewritten, double, you get your money, you know, you're all right. All right, so do you know this week I invested, and I WhatsApped you, didn't I, about a company that I invested in, and
yes.
I said about Steve, explain to us Bitcoin blockchain. He's on the blockchain. Say on blockchain Bitcoin blockchain Bitcoin blockchain Bitcoin. You're the tech guy, aren't you?
I don't know what that is.
You know what a blockchain is?
Oh, come on, Steve.
Oh, Steve. How high up the tech curve are you? You're obviously just into sound tech, are you? And vision tech.
Explain to me what it is, and I'll tell you why I don't know what it is.
Explain to us what it is, and I'll tell you why I don't... explain to us what it is, and I'll tell you why I don't know what it is.
I haven't not known. I understand what you're talking
what's
about.
What's the logic in your head, Steve? Okay, Steve.
Well, I'll explain to you why I don't have that knowledge in my brain. That's what I'm trying to say.
Hang on a sec. Have you heard of the word Bitcoin?
No. Well, it rings a bell, but I don't really know if you can ask me what it is.
I understand you've probably heard of the word bit and the word coin. is that what you came familiar with?
Familiar when you broke them up.
Yeah, there's something in there I know. I'm aware of the word coin. I'm aware of
those two words really quickly together. Or is it two separate words or one word?
When you say it together, it confuses me. But when you say it slowly, separately, I understand.
Stop putting all your words together.
Yeah. Try this one, Steve. Block. Yes, yes. Chain. Yes, yes. Blockchain. No. No. I know something in there sounds familiar, but not together. Bit. Yes. Coin. Yes. Bitcoin. No. So.
Well, go on, explain what it is.
Can you put it the other way around? Coin.
It's basically a digital currency. Bitcoin is a digital currency, right? It's been mooted for years that this will take over the natural order of things that we have at the moment. You know, paper and all this and online transactions. So essentially, it's... There's an interesting article actually I read about data miners, Bitcoin miners, and essentially they've got these massive computers, super servers, Steve, up in the Arctic, because there's so many of them, mining for these Bitcoins. There's a guy called...
Finite number of Bitcoins, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a finite number. Yeah, the Bitcoin is about, at the moment, about $800 per one Bitcoin. That's how much they're worth. Around about that. It's very volatile. In fact, the Voss brothers, what are they called? The Voss brothers who originally had Facebook, apparently, and they sued Mark Zuckerberg because those guys are massive investors in Bitcoin, and they're multimillionaires anyway. But, yeah, so they mine, they're created, and blockchain can be separated. The blockchain technology can be separated. So, essentially, if I make a payment to you, Steve, right, and I say, I paid you your 10 quid, Steve, and you say, no, you haven't. I say, yes, I have. I say, I haven't, prove it. And I say, it's coming from my bank. Look, I'll show you. Steve, I say, I didn't get it. You can say, now, there are people who can, you know, have to go to the bank and say, can you look at this, can you do this, and the two banks have to connect each other, and then, essentially, after time and period, they can say, yes, he did pay you into your account. There it is. Now, with blockchain, automatically, there are several other people on the ledger. So when a transaction is made, essentially, about 7 or 8 or 9, 10 authorities will know about it straight away. And these little bits of whatever's paid, normally Bitcoin, they'll have lots of data within them. So it can tell you not only when it was paid, time and date stamp, what it was paid for, everything. So it carries a lot more information than just a unit. So saying this is a lot more transparent, a lot more trustworthy.
Well, that's currency. Kind of like your bank statement, surely, yes.
No. If you look into it, it's a lot better. So you can even have Bitcoin only allowed to pay for certain things. So, for example, if your company says this is only for research and development, it'll be labeled as that, and a Bitcoin can't be used.
Okay, so
you can't be.
So it's like a digital trade. Yeah, okay. That makes
it's a digital trade.
But also, it's universal, you see, so it's not governed by exchange rates and
yeah, exactly.
Across boundaries and territories.
Now, listen, the inventor, this is amazing. Mm. This whole story is amazing, really, Bitcoin. The inventor of Bitcoin is a guy called. What's he called?
Brian Coyne.
Yeah. It's called Brian. I was thinking his name is Sakamoshi Nakamoto.
Nakamoto.
Yeah. Now he created this, Steve, right? And left it there for the world, then disappeared. No one knows who he is or where he's gone. And this was like literally a few years. I don't know what that many years back, was it? Satomoshi.
2008.
You
are. Hold on a minute. Steve, you're not Satoshi Nakamoto, are you?
Well, a bit worrying if I don't even know what I made.
But I think you were bluffing. I think you were bluffing. It actually turns out you are Satoshi Nakamoto.
Mm. He's obviously been kidnapped or something, and it's gone wrong, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But do you know what? It's apparently, as of December 9th, Nakamoto owns roughly 1 million bitcoins. He owns 1 million. The value is estimated around about $895 million. So the inventor claimed to be a man living in Japan, born around 1975. But he created this and disappeared, right? But anyway, so this week, or was it last week? It's our last week there. I invested in a company called Blue Stark. This is where it's getting relevant to us.
Right.
Before he starts going off into really, you know, sort of obscure Japanese culture and digital currencies. Blue Star Capital, right? So a tiny sort of a market cap company, 1.5 million market cap. They're an investment company, and they invest in tech digital companies, you know, disruptive technology. And they ploughed in, I think, about 700,000, which is massive for them. It's 600,000 or that. They ploughed about 600,000 into Satoshi Pay. Now, see, Satoshi Nakamoto, see? They've taken the name from the inventor of Bitcoin. But essentially what this is, and I don't really understand it, I sort of do a little bit, what they're doing is nano payments. And these are payments, no one else will be able to do this yet, on a massive scale, like they reckon they can do it. And these are payments of like 10 pence or less, you know, it could even be 1 cent. And they could do it over the line using blockchain technology that's trusted. So you don't have to go anywhere to pay. So you fill up your wallet, done, pay. And they're reckoning now, what happened is, a lot of ad blockers are happening at the moment. You know, I don't know if you know about this, but people are using ad blockers. So a lot of revenue is lost by people who use, you know, normally use ads. And so they reckon what's going to happen now is they'll use something like this, a nano payment system. And it won't be used just on blockchain. It'll be used for all different currencies. They've also already got, this is Satoshi Pay, an agreement with Visa. So Visa are looking into them. They've got investors like Jim Mellon on board, who's called Britain's Warren Buffett, who's I've had on the podcast, and lots of other backers like Axel Springer, who's a massive media digital, probably one of the biggest digital publishers in Europe. They're based in they're listed in Germany, but they own Business Insider and lots of other titles, and they're worth about 3 billion market cap. So some big people backing this company. And they say, why? And the guy came on, Meinhard Ben, said, this is what it's going to be big. And he was chatting to me about it. So I said, to explain to him what happens, Meinhard. We had a digital console, but I said, what's the potential, Meinhard? Oh, it's going to be billions, billions, billions. And I didn't know whether they meant billions of Satoshi Pei, which is a tiny little currency, or billions of... But he reckons this will be huge when people will go to websites. It's basically, you don't have to log in or anything. It's in your browser, encrypted, your wallet. For example, if you go to a page that like Financial Times and you want to read something, and they're saying, you have to subscribe to this, there won't be any of that anymore. Essentially, if you want to read one article or listen to one song or a tiny bit of something or a tiny bit of movie... You get charged a nano payment, 10 pence, 1 pence, 5 pence. That's all it is. And so you wouldn't care about making those kind of payments, would you? That amount. You say, oh, I'll pay 10 pence for that. You know, and I think it's that quality, and no one else has been able to crack this nano payments before. And they'll get 10% of the commission. And that's the way it'll work. So you could have a bit of anything. But also, you'll say it'll work in the background before you know it. It'll be a trusted source and you'll do it. And I quite like that. And I just thought, I said to myself when I invested, I said, do you know what? If you look at the backers behind this, and the companies behind this, and I thought it's one of those things you never know. You know, it could take off, and because Bitcoin has been around for a while, blockchain, and there are lots of now big companies, big banks looking into blockchain because they reckon it will cut down on ledgers and accountants and all this. Because essentially, digital companies can hold so much information and record so much information that goes into a blockchain, to a ledger, which is held by lots of different people, that it can't be tampered with, and it's very low cost. So I'm just thinking, blockchain could be massive, you know? And this company here has got nano payments here. It's one of the only pure plays you can do. And it's not even a pure play, because it's an investment company, invest in them. But it's one of the only companies you can do get access to Bitcoin. And I thought, and last time I said this, you never know, it could be huge, you know? It was about EVRH. And that did quite well, isn't it? You know?
Yes.
So I didn't really understand virtual reality too much and how they're going to get access to the market. But you realise, there's no... Cause part of me thought, when I looked at EVRH, how many people will sit down there with a headset on watching a concert? I didn't, you know, I thought that can't be that many. Then you realise you've got virtual tickets, and you realise that the technology is growing and expanding, and you can start socialising with other people. And so, you know, the rate of evolution is huge. And so it's no point sort of trying to break it down traditionally, saying how much can they earn on each transaction and all that, how many transactions they need to do. It's not that, it's almost the potential of the tech, you know? That's what you're paying for. And the fact that these are almost, you know, in the start, the leaders in their field, you know, that's what you're sort of paying for. So that's why I took a little punt on Blue Star Capital. And it is a punt, but it's one of the things where you never know where it could end up, you know? Even Steve has heard of the word bit and coin. So what do you think, Steve? What's your thoughts on that? I mean, what do you do online when you pay for something? I suppose it's goods and services, isn't it? But if you want to pay for something, a tiny bit, would you worry about paying like 1 pence, 5 pence, 10 pence if it was a trusted source?
Well, again, it depends what kind of you're buying, really. But yeah, no, I'd pay for small bits of information or small little things.
Yeah, rather than subscribe, you know. I mean, for example, 99% of Financial Times, I have no interest in. There's maybe the odd article here and there, I would do, you know. And so, anything like this, anything you can pay online for, and you can have a bit of this, a bit of that, and so. I think it has potential. I had a tech guy email me and explain about ad blockers I didn't really understand, and he said it could be huge for publishers and all that stuff. So I said okay, and he said he's quite a techie guy in IT. So I thought okay, all right. Who knows? It's a punt. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So on to our homework then, guys. God, I got a dodgy knee. I've had to stop running on the treadmill. Dreadful. I started off the year very well.
You've been running for this whole time.
Yeah. running. Yeah. Yeah, I started off the year very well, didn't I? So I
did you?
Yeah, on the treadmill every night.
Well done.
20 minutes, then on the dumbbells, 20 of those, then push-ups, 20 of those. Then push-ups, 20 of those, then pull-ups, 20 of those every night. Just and the thing is, it's a very fine line, isn't it, between making too much energy effort and not enough. If it's too easy, it's not doing you any good, you know. If it's too hard, you don't want to do it again, you know. So I've got 20 minutes running and 20 sets of each once, and I was happy with that. It makes you strain a lot, I start to sweat, but not too much that I don't look forward to it, you know. How is your training going, Steve? Are you getting past warm-up stage now?
Oh, yeah.
I got past the wall, but yeah, no, it's going really well, actually. I went to the gym 5 times this week, which is like the most I've ever been in my entire life.
Right, to warm up.
The plan is working.
Just to warm up.
Just to warm up, yeah.
What do you do then?
It's lots and lots of things. I do like, but yeah, I'm doing like one set of everything, just kind of going through a lot of things.
Are you working with your personal trainer every time?
No, only on a Friday morning. So I've had 2 sessions where I did last Friday and this Friday. So, but I've been working on my own in the middle. It's going well. Keeping it interesting, which is the main thing.
That's the main thing, isn't it? Well, losing weight or getting fit is not the main thing.
No. Well, no, that
keeping it interesting.
Just going. Yeah, if it's boring, you're not going to carry on doing it, are you?
I disagree with that. Because if you go into the gym, right, and you just make it interesting, I mean, you could make it interesting by just trying to look at ladies in there. And stretch close to them and just really
Google. You've got to keep it interesting and productive at the same time.
What's your favourite machine? The vending machine.
The water fountain is quite nice. I like that.
But you can keep it interesting by lifting small weights, but see how much noise you can make. You know, really tiny little dumbbells, those tiny little ones, little ladies may go, just keep it interesting. You know, just when someone looks at you, just say, just keep it interesting. Just keep it interesting. It's the main thing. It's the main
just
fella.
Keeping it interesting.
Just go there in a dress, you know, and a wig, and on rollerblades. Yeah. And then just go there, a treadmill on rollerblades. So just keep it interesting.
Some days don't even use weights and stuff. Just be doing the grunting. Yep, just keeping it interesting. Working on the grunting.
Yeah, just walk in there with a pair of socks on, nothing else. Just keep it interesting, guys. That's the main
mixing
thing.
Mixing it up.
That's the main thing, guys. Mixing it up. Just keeping it interesting. Yeah. Just red socks and a matching red nose and a clown's hat, nothing else. Just keep it interesting, guys. It's all you're going to think. All right, so let's get on to the homework. I asked you to look into next. Let's go in alphabetical order. Peter, for instance, for our punt on the 10% gains on the bigger stocks.
Yeah, the dog ate it again. Mm.
That's no way to speak about your missus.
I kind of forgot we had homework.
What? Oh, come on. Come on.
One job, I know.
Yeah. Oops. By the way, I mentioned Gunn last week as a punt. No, Gunn is doing it okay. It keeps going up. People keep selling it. Keeps going back down, which is annoying. And in fact, Blue Star Capital, which I mentioned there about Bitcoin, by looking at it now, just 22%. It's all right, isn't it?
Well, 22% on today being Friday. Wow.
Yeah, 20%. Right, that's all right. Yeah. Oh, let me just mention another stock there. I was very impressed by this. Energizer Investments, ENGI. I did buy some on Friday. I chatted to Dominic White, the CEO, on Thursday. They announced Vox Markets are going to use Vox Markets as a service to share their information as a platform. And essentially, if you look at the background of these guys, Energizer, they hold a lot of stock. They've got a lot of skin in the game. Two of the guys from Inland Homes, which is 120 million market cap, their investments are featured in the real estate world. And I'm thinking, Dominic himself is like ex-Henderson Global Investors. He's looked after billions of money under management. And yet, this is a company, you know, this is a company, what is it, 3.8 million market cap? And they haven't got any news out yet. But they've started to get a bit proactive. And I'm thinking, hang on a sec, what's going on here? And when you've got that level of, you know, I've seen this before with other companies, and they go through the ceiling. When you get this level of experience on a board like that, you know, it may take a bit of a while, but they get things done, you know, and they've done it before. So just put it on your watch list. ENGI, definitely. Just, you know, like I said, do your own research. This is not investment advice. Just look into the backgrounds of the guys involved and look at the skin in the game they have. And thinking, well, why would they have this much skin in the game if they don't take this seriously? And also, it's been floated for a while, this company, but it's been pretty much a vehicle doing nothing to it. And only this year they've decided to get Dominic on board, the CEO, to start running the company. And when you hire a guy like Dominic, who's got a wealth of experience, to start the vehicle going, you know, you think, oh, okay. And then they've hired sort of Vox to help them out, share their news and information across the network, you know. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking, something's going to happen here. You know, they're going to get a deal in here somewhere. Something's going to happen. So just put on your watch at ENGI, quite a big rise on Friday. Luckily, they were down when I bought. And then they went up after I bought, which means, not that I had bought a lot. There wasn't a lot of stock available at that level. So, you know, even a couple of buys would have pushed it up. So there wasn't much stock available at that level, so it went up. So, let it cool off maybe, but look into it definitely, because, you know, if the track records of the part, the guys involved or anything to go by, it's worth looking. It's Engi, E-N-G-I, Energizer, yeah? Just remind me when you're talking about training there, Energizer. So that's like Energizer right. Batteries. Yeah. Energizer okay. Is there Energizer Batteries out there, are there?
Yeah. Energizer, yes.
Okay. And the logo is very similar to that, Energizer. Yeah, okay then. So, you didn't do anything. Steve, thanks very much for that, Peter. Thanks for the effort.
No problem at all.
Steve, what did you like?
Well, do you know, I know my track record is writing things down, well, last week or the week before, and not doing anything. This time I wrote it down and did look beforehand, before the podcast as well, to have a look at their financial stats and stuff. And I've realised I haven't got a clue what I'm doing. To be quite frank, but one thing I did notice.
Do you know what? Steve, hang on, let me just say.
There's a lot of numbers on there.
Hang on, let me just say something. Everyone who listens to the podcast, right, out of everyone here, you're probably the last person to realise that. Everyone else pretty much knew this. It's taken you, how long are we doing this podcast? Over a year. Almost close to 2 years, probably. And now it's taken you 2 years to realise you haven't got a clue what you're doing. But it's nice, though. It's like an alcoholic, you know. It's almost like you were in denial for a while. Not even in denial. You didn't even realise it, you know. It's almost like you're drinking like 20 a day and, you know, not even realising that's a bad thing.
Yeah. And one thing I did pick up, though, and whether this is something which, I don't know, but I've noticed their cash in the bank is down from 275 million to 66 million in a year, which obviously doesn't look good, does it?
Let's have a look at this. You look at the last trading statement, is it? Was this the last?
Yeah. So from 2015 to 2016.
No. Generally speaking, you can only get like 250 quid out of a cash point. So how have they done that?
I was thinking the same thing, Pete.
Yeah.
Are you looking at the what statement is that then? Do you write this down? How did you know this?
I got their bank statements here.
No, but how did you know this? Where did you get it from? Is it a trading statement or interims or what?
It's their income statement.
Yeah, but for what time? Results for the half year ended July 2016, was it?
Well, no, I've just got like a summary in front of me of like the last 5 years, from 2012 to 2016.
Okay, so let me always, always look, like I said, when you're researching a company, always look at either the last set of financial results. Now, there are, you know, if you're based in the UK, you do interims, which is 6 months worth, last 6 months, and then you got fulls, which is 12 months. Whichever's more current, have a look at that first. So,
the cash in the bank in hand. So, in 2012. They had 56 million and then went up to 136 the next year, and then a year after 273, then 275, and then 2016 went down to 66. So it's like they were like having a gradual increase, and last year it's had a massive drop off. So, I'm not sure.
That's good, Steve. Now, that's very good, isn't that? Because, I mean, do you know what? Having cash in bank, obviously, you don't need to burn that cash unless you're heavily investing in something, right? Yep. Now, I don't know if they are heavily investing in something. What are they investing in? They've got the infrastructure there, haven't they? What they're investing in? Because they've got their online presence. I don't know what they're investing in. But if they're not investing in something to generate more cash, then that's a worrying sign. Because that means they're dipping into the cash flow, the cash there they need for future. So that's not a good thing. So even that is a good metric to look at. I don't know how accurate that is. So, all right. Net increase or decrease in cash. Last year, for the 6 months, they had opening cash equivalents of 52 million. And then their closing cash was 141 million. So, let's have a look here.
Even looking at the graph at the moment, because obviously they plummeted in the beginning of the year, but they still seem to be kind of going down. So as an investment right now, would you kind of wait a little bit to see how far that keeps going down? Because they don't seem to be staying at any point at the moment.
Well, I think, if you look at the chart, right, that initial spike down at Brexit time, was it June, I think? June, spiked down, massive. It opened at 35.51, so 35 and a half quid a share. 35.51, and it literally zoomed all the way back up to 40 quid. And then it went up and down, went up to about 55 quid. It's come back down now, back to 39, below 40 quid. And I'm thinking it's got to retest that 35 level at least. Maybe it's got to, you know, it's got to have a higher low there. So it's next down. So at the moment, I can still see, you know, gradually slipping down to that. And the fact that the FTSE is at all time high recently, I don't think it's. I mean, obviously, it's not been reflected next to shares. But I mean, they won't be helped if the FTSE sells off, you know. So I'm thinking sit and wait for a bit. Someone did suggest Cobham. I don't know much about them, really. I know the defence and all that, but I know they've been having a bit of a torrid time. God, look at the gaps down on that. That suggests not good. Gap down, big gaps down, Cobham. But I like to know companies I know about, you see. But who shops at Next these days? Anyone? Do you know? Have you shopped at Next for a while? I don't know. Have you?
No, I've not been there for a long time.
Yeah.
No. I'm not a big Next shopper.
Where do you shop, Steve?
All over the place. I buy my day-to-day clothes recently in Matalan.
What do you mean? What? Say, wait, sorry, let me just get that term in there. Your day-to-day clothes,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to what? Week to week, month to month, year to year.
I'll buy myself special t-shirts every now and then. So,
I don't want to know about your special t-shirts. I've seen those. Let's go. Look, they're PVC, are they? Let me type PVC.
Can't get them in Matalan.
Have you got any specialty shirts in PVC with zips on them? So
you walk into Matalan and say, looking for some day-to-day wear.
Do you know what I discovered? I think with age, you kind of don't care as much about brands. And I can go in there and buy a t-shirt for like £5. And do you know what? It's the same as a t-shirt anywhere else. It doesn't last as long, but then you just chuck it and get a new one, so...
Well, it's not the same as anywhere else, is it? It doesn't last as long. That's rubbish, isn't it? So if you buy... Steve, that's bad. It's the same as anywhere else. It doesn't last as long, but, you know...
Well, no, what I'm saying, if I buy an expensive T-shirt, I think in my head I can't throw it out as quick because I've spent so much on it. So it ends up... I end up having a T-shirt for years and years and years, whereas a cheaper one in Matalan I can check away and get a different one and looks like I'm...
I had that, though, but it's because you haven't got a lady in your life, Steve. I used to do that, buy really cheap T-shirts that I don't care, wear them, you know. But the missus pointed out, say, yeah, they look dreadful on you. So they're cheap, they may last long, but it doesn't last very long, but they look dreadful. So I looked in the mirror, I think, they do look dreadful, actually, got no shape to them at all. And it's only
but that's the thing, though. I remember you trying to drag me into Primark to buy stuff in there, but Matalan, because they already all fitted stuff, it fits me nice. It doesn't look any different to like a diesel T-shirt. But
and with your new gym body, you know,
exactly.
No one will be looking at the T-shirt, Steve, will they?
Exactly.
But you say that, Steve. Who's judging you on this? Who's giving you the thumbs up or down on your style?
Myself.
Oh, exactly. That is no judge, is it? You know, you can be deluded. You can be walking around.
But then I do. As I said, that was the day to day. Every now and then, I'll buy. I work at home on my own most of the time. But yeah, no, I buy nice T-shirts. So I'll go, Jack and Jones.
But you should dress for yourself, Steve. You should
exactly.
You shouldn't be impressing anyone else. You just dress to impress yourself.
Thank you, Peter.
And that's from another single man there as well.
Who's sat in his pants.
From two single people who will never get a partner. Just be happy with dress for yourself, Steve, and you'll always be single.
That's my recipe for success with the ladies.
Yes, and that's why I'm sitting here literally with my pants and an apron. They're not listed there, Matalan. I don't know who owns those, really. But I've got some shirts from...
Matt and Alan, isn't it?
What?
It's Matt and Alan.
Yeah, Matt and Alan. It was going to be called Alamat, but it didn't work out. It didn't. The Matalan works better. Yeah, but it's alphabetical, Alamat. No, Matalan. So... What was I going to say? Yeah, I don't buy this stuff, I'm forced to. And I normally now get a lot of shirts in the sales from Superdry, which is Supergroup floated.
That's one of my other bigs, Superdry. I buy a lot from them as well.
They're a load of sales. I mean, 15 quid a T-shirt, that's all right, isn't it, for Supergroup? Mm. Supergroup, Superdry, yeah. Because I don't only like to be dry, I like to be super dry, you know?
Right.
Don't like any hint of moisture anywhere. I like to be really super dry. And I don't know where they got the brand from. But they're a volatile stock. Anyway, what else should I say? So what do you say? Next, wait, should we sit back a bit? Or should we just jump into something for a laugh?
I reckon we either look at something else or hold off on next.
Okay, IGG. It's coming out of these two, isn't it? That's going back up. It's still hitting its head on that.
Do you know what I noticed? Blast from the past, but Sky have gone back up to where they were when we sold out.
Where? What's time now? What's
the time now?
No, we saw 10:20.
There is no time in a podcast.
We saw 10:20. They're now £10 exactly. I'm looking at. Of course, what the offer price was ten? Was it 10.75? 11?
Yeah,
I don't know what it was. There we are.
10.75. Yeah.
Okay. Next guy. Yeah. So no harm going back. You see, I mean, it's not like relationships with jobs. You can go back if you know a stock. I mean, look.
I'm not saying to get in that one, but I'm just saying it's going.
EasyJet. Look, it's
EasyJet.
It's a wedge they're building. I think that may build soon. And we got several. I think we should get into EasyJet again. What do you reckon? Because I'm looking at the higher lows there. And I'm thinking there's higher lows. There's definitely some higher lows.
My only thought with airlines and general travel companies.
Go on, speak up, Steve. Pete, blood, go. You know, you bust my eardrums then.
Sorry. I'm quite passionate about EasyJet. with the weak pound, it'll be interesting to see if this year, you know, the holidays abroad takes a hit. So with the, you know, foreign travel.
I agree. Flights,
et cetera. Will that be? And that will that have an impact on EasyJet's profit?
And it's going to be quite a testing year, isn't it, with the whole Brexit negotiations going ahead now at the moment.
That's right, Steve.
Yeah, but that's priced in, surely. With this stock, I'm drawing a wedge here, right?
And well, it's not pricing because we don't know what's going to happen yet, do we?
They're a part of this wedge. I'm doing some research on this, boys. I think we should get into it because the other part of this is literally, if you draw a wedge, right, two things go down. It's the share price will go up a triangle. So you draw a triangle, basically, with a wedge, you know, thinning towards the right of the graph, you know? Now, it starts off very volatile, then slows down, and it sort of fits in it and starts bouncing it between those two little bands. And now it's right at the point of that wedge. Now, it's either going to break up or break down. So I'm thinking, this could be a good chance here to break up because relative strength is not. I think if we put a buy target, right, at about 10.70, so it goes up to hit it, then I think we're on to a winner here, or 10.80. It'll go higher. That's what I reckon.
Okay. How about you have a think about that and we'll come back to it?
Okay, next time we come back to it. This is a very time specific. This is going to happen very soon. So next week, if this breaks up, right, I'm going to break you too. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, deal.
All right, that's a deal.
That's your homework.
I look forward to that. That's what I want, to break you two. If this breaks up, I'll break you two. All right, I'll break your faces, yeah? Lads, is there anything else worth chatting about or not?
No, I don't think so.
No.
All right. Lovely. Okay. Well, have a nice weekend. Speak next week.
In it. Right.
Okay. Bye. That's right. Try saying that, Steve. Speak next week.
See you next weekend.
That's not it.
That wasn't quite accurate. See you next weekend.
Same message, isn't it?
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.